Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And to all the parents going to sporting events up and down the valley tonight, good luck.
It's late April and I have my Under Armour out. What's wrong with that? And it's not the heat, it's not the cool gear either.
To all the kids playing tonight, if you want to know what love is, look in the stands.
You won't be able to see them. They'll be bundled up so much in blankets and winter coats, they'll disappear.
That's love. Mom and Dad showed up to see you do this.
Dad, did you see that hit? No, your father will see it later. His eyes are frozen shut.
Today's show brought to you by Bill's Ash Cans. What do you stand around as your kid plays in late April in central Pennsylvania? Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet. It's a good place to warm up, Kev. It's a good place to go. Good place to go before you go to the event. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection anywhere. Go in there and help everywhere, too. Loved it. There's so many. Everywhere I turned, there was somebody there who was ready to help me. And soft drinks, snacks, right there at the front. They had the peanuts right in the bags. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Grab one as I was going out. Pickle bar, made a stop there. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There's been a lot of talk from the SEC and Nick Saban about how upset they are with some of the satellite camps being set up by Big Ten coaches down south. The SEC, in one of the rare moments in life, this is one of the rules that the SEC, they're not allowed to do. They can do virtually anything else, it seems. And what's interesting is people have talked about the SEC football culture and the passion of the fans for the SEC. And I think part of that is as follows. A lot of people love football. A lot of people in the South love football. It's like a lot of people in the South love NASCAR. But if you notice, what was the last bastion of sports? What was the last part of the country they really moved into? The South. I'm talking about professional sports. And let's take football, for example. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins were an expansion team in 1966. As were the Atlanta Falcons. But being an expansion team also means a long path to success. It took the Falcons a while to really get going and that people feel good about them. And while they were doing that, by the way, the University of Georgia kept winning. Miami is down at the southern tip of Florida, so that has no effect on the southern conversation in reality. You look at the success at Florida, South Carolina, Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. You know, the Saints go into New Orleans 1967. They have, what, one winning season in 20 years? Meanwhile, LSU's winning, doing well. And people are locked in and passionate on it because they've been locked in and passionate about it before the Saints were ever created. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see, for example, the South passionate about its college football. because that was, for a long time, the only show in town. Tampa Bay Bucks didn't go into existence until 77, and or 76, I should say, and they were terrible. Lost their first 26 games. Jacksonville didn't have a team until 1995. Carolina did not have a team until 1995. And the Oilers moved to Tennessee in 97, or right around there. So the NFL had no toehold in the South at all. And the SEC was going along. Now, meanwhile, go to the North. Yeah, there's a great passion at Ohio State, but you know, you got to remember all those years when Ohio State was good. You had the Browns, who were really good. Michigan and Michigan State, you got the Detroit Lions, Bears in Illinois. Now, it's also played a role in this state, too. Timing means something. Think about this. It's the mid-60s. Joe Paterno takes over as head coach at Penn State in 66. Now, remember, the first game played at Beaver Stadium. Rip Engel's the head coach, Boston University, 46,000, moved it to the east side of campus. The game wasn't sold out. Now, today, if 46,000 showed up for a game, oh my goodness, the hue and cry would be off the charts. But they didn't sell it out. Timing means something. Joe takes over in 66, and then starting at the end of 67, Penn State goes on a run of 31 straight without losing. Wins two Orange Bowls, ranks second in the country. A lot of people disgusted that they aren't, especially after 69, aren't in a position to win the national championship. Instead, it's given to Ohio State. Actually, Ohio State won 68, was given to Texas. The great Texas-Arkansas thing, which created a lot of passion here. Which, by the way, also coincided with the Eagles and the Steelers not being very good. In fact, the Eagles and Steelers didn't even play in their own stadiums in the late 60s. Steelers played at Pitt Stadium. The Eagles played at Franklin Field. Three Rivers and the Vet weren't built until 1970. This is all in that period of time where Penn State got really, really good. And suddenly getting your backside up to Central Pennsylvania to Beaver Stadium to be a part of what was going on. Hey, guess what? Winners. Okay? The fans love football in this state, and they could latch themselves onto a big-time winner. They weren't getting big-time winners in Philadelphia, and they weren't getting big-time winners in Pittsburgh. So pro football is not exactly making a huge mark on this state in the latter stages of the 60s. But Joe Paterno and Penn State, they're winning. And he keeps winning. So that you've established your fan base and your passion base. And it turns out then the Steelers obviously get in the 70s are incredible, but people aren't backing off going to Penn State. They're still winning. You know, the Steelers are, you know, starting to get going here. They're getting to the AFC Championship game the same year John Cappelletti wins the Heisman Trophy and they're undefeated. They're right in the middle of the Steeler run of four championships in 6 years, and Penn State's playing Alabama for the title with an undefeated regular season. You know, so you've established now and deeply entrenched your fan base because the timing was just right with all the circumstances. People have wondered, for example, why women's basketball, for example, does not have a deep entrenched fan base across the country. It's very regionalized. Why is the UConn fan base so deeply entrenched? It's more than just the fact that Gino Auriemma has won 10 championships. Connecticut is a state that has never had great athletic success. Yale doesn't really, I mean, Yale's Yale. It's down in the southern part of the state. It's New Haven. There's no real connection with Yale in the state. So when Yale had its great run in the late 60s, they drew well. They sold out Yale Bowl with Calvin Hill, Brian Dowling, Bob Weinauer. Carm Cosa was the coach. Yeah, they did that, but there wasn't a passion for it. Connecticut was always the state that had Division I basketball that was good sometimes. Football was Division I AA, and they had no professional sports. Even when the Giants came in and played at Yale Bowl for a year and a half, 2 years, it was on loan. Then they got the Whalers. And at least they had a pro team. But even the pro team, they weren't winning. UConn men's basketball at Big East. But they weren't winning. Until the UConn women. They became the first team in the state of Connecticut to win the national championship. And they, by doing that, they created an entrenched fan base that's passionate about them. So if you, you know, when you look at the South, a big reason why I think the SEC, timing means everything. And that's why I think NASCAR is so big, because NASCAR was a major deal in the South. Because nobody else was going down there. Like I said, the NFL, I mean, the AFL went with the Dolphins in 66, but Miami's too far away from SEC country. Way, I mean, very far away. You know, the Falcons come in 66, not very good. The Saints were, for 20 years, not good, started in 67. Tennessee Titans don't go to the late 90s, mid-90s Jacksonville, mid-90s Carolina. So the SEC really had it to themselves in terms of getting fans out to games. I mean, those aren't all Alabama graduates in a 101,000-seat stadium. A lot of them are just, you know, a chunk of them are just Alabama fans. They want to be with a winner. And the professional sports has not really invaded the South. I mean, Atlanta's got the Braves. They moved from Milwaukee in 65, 66. Who else do you have down there? I mean, Tampa Bay and the Marlins? Really? They didn't come into existence until the 90s. NBA, Hawks moved from St. Louis to Atlanta. They've tried hockey twice. Flames are in Calgary now. The Thrashers are in Winnipeg. But where else in the South? You have Nashville Predators. The Carolina Hurricanes, who, by the way, are next to last in attendance in the league. Former Whalers. And yet, we've had a population move south in this country dramatically. South and west. What did we establish? 51% of the population no longer lives in the Eastern time zone? Is that correct?
Yeah, the number was close to that. I'll have to look it up to be sure, but I think it was 51.
And that, you know, you wonder why certain sports have taken, like, are, like, firmly entrenched in tradition? I mean, that's a big reason why. If pro sports dominate, then they dominate. But if you've left an area vacant for a period of time, they fill it with something else. Well, they filled it with, there was no NFL down there for decades and decades. They filled it with college football.
47% live in the Eastern time zone.
So 53% do not. See, and that's all changed over the years. That's all changed. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's a month-long luxury car celebration featuring the year's best deals on new and certified pre-owned Lincolns at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Isn't it time you reward yourself with the best of American luxury? Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making that American luxury affordable with big discounts and no-interest finance deals. Celebration savings of over $4,600 on a new Lincoln MKC all-wheel drive and take advantage of 0% for 48 months. Celebration savings of $5,000 on a new Lincoln MKS and take advantage advantage of 0% for 72 months. Buy a certified pre-owned 2013 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid with only 29,000 miles for only $26,493. And during this month-long celebration, take advantage of 1.9% for 72 months. It's a month-long celebration at your home for American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory right now at sunburymotors.com. Financing with approved credit. All rebates to dealers. See dealer for complete details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Every time I hear that song, I think of the movie Con Air. Maybe that's why it fits. All right. Okay. Now we head into the weekend. It's just a heavy playoff weekend. Nothing big. Pacquiao Mayweather's next week. I'm not going to watch it. As I pointed out earlier, the two guys are past their prime.
A 22-1 bet, our odds on a bet for a draw is down to 8-1 right now.
I mean, Marciano Lewis is on the undercard. It's just not.
And they're not replaying it. No. It's a new one.
It's like first time out for them.
But you know what? This is what the big issue right now is with boxing. When your biggest matchup are two guys that are past their prime, that you feel you can get $99 a pay-per-view, and well, that tells you where boxing is right now. There's just no one there that draws. There's no name that draws the casual fan like you had with a Hagler or a Hearns or a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Muhammad Ali or even a Mike Tyson.
Well,
I mean, say what you want about Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson fought, it was an event and everybody knew it and everybody went there.
Sure.
Evander Holyfield, kind of, but not as much.
Right. But Holyfield did at least fight Tyson.
Right.
Pacquiao and Mayweather did is they delayed this fight so long. And that they've done it to the point where I've lost interest in that. I really don't care if they fight. I'm like, oh, yeah, really? They're both just. You feel like they're both just doing it for the money now. They're not really doing it to find out who's best.
Nah, I don't think there's any doubt that that's what it is.
Now, money means, obviously, money's going to mean anything in any endeavor you're in. That's still the number one thing, no matter what. But you always felt, for example, when Ali fought Frazier, you felt like they're two guys in the prime of their career trying to find out who really is best. Who's best? Leonard fought Hagler. Why? Find out who's best. Duran fought Leonard. Nobody avoided anybody. You didn't avoid anybody. This fight, these two guys fight, there have been delays in these two trying to get together for years and years and years. Now we're all supposed to be, whoo. Hey, this is great. They finally got together. Fabulous. Okay, we'll go over to the village and watch them fight. I mean, it's...
But what's the big difference then and now? And this is just my opinion. The big difference is you had maybe three championship belts. So when you had a fight, it was usually a big fight and a belt was at stake. Now you have eight championship belts or more. Nobody knows what they are anymore. And no one's ever putting the belt up as in the fight.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree. There's no doubt it being fractured has hurt the sport. That part, that you're right about that. But names mean more than belts.
Well, but that's my point. You have all these belts out there. Nobody has a name because there are so many champions that it's all watered down. And then when they do end up fighting, there's never a belt up anyway. So why, you know, what makes me want to watch as a casual fan? That's the point that I was making.
I just don't think that, I think the sport is just about, I mean, Olympic boxing used to be a big deal. Even that's not a big deal anymore. It was. It used to be a big deal. Olympic boxing was a big deal. Hang on, and they did a great job at developing the stars. Sugar, you know, I mean, let's face it. Ali was the light heavyweight champion at the Rome Olympics. Joe Frazier was the heavyweight champion at the Tokyo Olympics. George Foreman was the heavyweight champion at the Mexico City Olympics. Sugar Ray Leonard was the champion at the Montreal Olympics in 76. Now, what was interesting is that I think a lot of people would have loved to have seen Teofilo Stevenson, who was the heavyweight champ, turn pro. And to see if he could go toe-to-toe with Foreman. Could he go toe-to-toe with Frazier? Could he go toe-to-toe with Ali? But Teofilo Stevenson wasn't allowed to. And you're really bugged that I know all those years and where they took place and who won. That bothers you because this is like the Olympics are your bag.
No, that's the one Olympic sport that actually runs the entire 2 weeks of the Olympics in the summer. There's not many of them that do that.
But now it's I mean, Kevin, it's not even covered.
Oh, and when they do cover it, they cover it on like CNBC or something like that.
But I didn't even see, I don't think I saw one Olympic fight this past in London. I didn't see one. I watched a lot of the Olympics. Yeah, I mean, it's more difficult for me to watch all of it now because of my baseball commitment. But I don't recall watching any boxing in the last two Olympics. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, but they had all the boxing on one channel this time. They didn't really put it in prime time at all.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is time to stock up for the weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Laid out, well organized, easy to find, and oh, by the way, plenty of help in case you can't. And, of course, they have soft drink snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day, bags right there by the register. And, of course, the pickle bar, which is second to none. Stock up for the weekend right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Head into the final 25 minutes of the show. Our thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh sports reporter, who was on in the 3 o'clock hour. He's on from 3:30 to 5, 4 today. Next Monday, Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles, will join us Monday at 3:10. And also Ken Marangola, we had him on just last month, will be joining us to talk about the NFL draft and the Redskins on Tuesday. So looking forward to both of those. And I know we're going to get Jim Delaney on here at some point. We've talked about that. It might be next week or the week after. Talk about the various things going on with college football, basketball, and the Big Ten. TV contracts coming up huge. Very, very big. So.
Want to hear my draft day prediction? You ready? And if you think about it, I said this when the Eagles signed, or when the Eagles got Bradford. I said, could Bradford be trade bait?
Mm-hmm.
All right. These rumors swirling around on possible draft day trades that the Eagles are looking to possibly send Bradford to the Browns or Titans and then get Mariota from that team, from said team.
I know the Titans draft two. Where do the Browns draft?
I want to say four. Not sure. Let me just double check that, but I want to say four. I'll see if I'm right.
Now you have to trust that if you do that, say it's the Browns and not the Titans. The Titans would assure that they would get one of the two quarterbacks.
Actually, the Browns are further down than I thought. They're 12. I thought they had a higher pick this year, but they're down to 12.
The Browns are 12?
The Browns are 12.
Then that doesn't get you anything. Right? I mean, that wouldn't
well,
get you married.
No, but if the Browns are involved, if it's a multiple trade deal, but the rumors are that it could include the Browns and the Titans. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a direct trade.
Uh-huh.
This could be a three-team deal. But Bradford could be moving away from Philadelphia if there's a possibility. And now here's another thing, too. Doesn't necessarily have to be on trade day either. Or on draft day, rather, either.
No, but you wouldn't make the pick of Mariota.
You wouldn't think, no.
And with the idea that... that you're going to wait 2 weeks and trade him. Because I would think that something like that would involve multiple draft picks, with some of those draft picks being in that particular day, because you have an idea of what way you want to go positionally.
I don't mean
just like round one. I mean, it could involve like a third round pick, a fourth round pick, I mean, which are extremely valuable picks.
Well, here's one scenario in the way it could work. You know that the... There was discussion between the Browns and St. Louis.
Yep.
For Bradford in the first place. All right. There was talk that he was going to be shipped. So here's what happens. The Eagles work with the Browns, send Bradford. Then take that pick that they get from the Browns, work some other picks, and of course maybe a couple of players in there as well for Tennessee's number two, and then take Mariota.
This is your grand plan.
This is my plan. Now, it may not work like this, but I said from day one that I thought Bradford was trade bait more than he was to be in a Philadelphia uniform by the beginning of the season. But that's one of the rumors going around in the NFL personnel meetings that's starting to leak out. And we'll see how much of that's true.
Wow. You've done a lot of research on this.
Well, we'll find out if there's any accuracy to that research, but...
Yeah. Boy, you've gone out a lot on this one. And again, the Steelers are not trading up.
No, I don't think there's any reason to right now. But if you look at the picks, Tampa obviously needs a quarterback. Number two, Tennessee needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless
they are sold completely on Mettenberger.
That puts Jacksonville at three. I don't think there's
they've got Bortles. They're not making that pick.
Raiders at four.
Nope, they have Carr. They're not.
Yeah,
making
I was going to say I can't see them doing it either.
No, they're very happy with Derek Carr. They're not doing anything with that. The only way they'll trade that, they'll trade it if they think they can get
right. Redskins don't see that happening this year. I don't see them going quarterback this year. Six would be the Jets. Again,
yeah.
I don't know about that. This is one
if I'm an Eagles fan, the two teams that worry me trading up more than anybody else are the Jets and the Bears.
The Bears more, that's what I was just going to say. The Bears at seven would be more of a concern for me than the Jets, I think.
Oh, the Jets, I think, are a huge concern.
You think the Jets could go that direction?
All right. I look, Kevin, I felt that they picked Geno Smith with the idea that that was the best guy, and they thought, and I was never big on Geno Smith in college. I thought he was a very good college quarterback, but I just didn't look at him as being a guy that was going to be your next level star. Now, I don't know if some of that has to do with the fact that the Jets are offensively challenged, which they are. But I don't know. Now, is Mariota the answer? I don't know. I mean, Mariota very much involved in a system at Oregon. What Chip Kelly does is they play fast, but they are not overly complicated. Because I think one of the things you have to do is when you play fast, you can't be overcomplicated.
You talk about the Jets. I just wonder how committed they are right now to Geno Smith. I mean, Vic's obviously their backup.
I agree.
Their third is Matt Sims. So I can see where you're coming from with the Jets. I do think the Bears would be a concern at picking a quarterback.
Especially with the new coach.
Then that leaves you with the Falcons at 8.
No.
The Giants at 9. I don't see that. Nope. But then the Rams are at 10.
Well,
so that's why I'm saying to you, Steve, I think that there's a move that the Eagles make to get up to 2. Yeah. And because I don't see them getting anywhere else.
That's the one that assures you of getting one of the two quarterbacks.
Exactly. And the Browns, I think, are looking for a quarterback right now. As much as I know they picked one last year, you can't tell me that the front office of the Browns right now is overly confident he's ready to take over. No, and they're sitting at 12. Yeah. So if they can get themselves a quarterback, I think they make a deal.
All right. Well, distinct possibility. I mean, I think you have to somehow figure your way, Kevin, to get yourself to 2.
Yes.
I think you have to do it, and I think you have to do it. Yeah, that's the one you have to get to. I think Tennessee is the one that's in the best position. Now, part of this is going to be is how does Ken Whisenhunt evaluate Marcus Mariota? And number two, how does Ken Whisenhunt view Zach Mettenberger? And maybe the biggest wild card in this whole thing is, does Tennessee acquire Phillip Rivers?
I mean, what would you think Tennessee's needs are besides quarterback?
Well, they're going to go after Leonard Williams from USC, the defensive end. In reality, that's the guy they really want.
Okay, let me throw a name out, and I have not given this a ton of thought, so forgive me if it sounds crazy. But
well, the show has now become what its average self is. No, go ahead.
Fletcher Cox. I know he's not a defensive end.
Well. Yeah, but he's a guy that can get to the quarterback, right?
Right.
In a lot of ways, that's what they're looking for.
So, here you go. Tennessee's issues are quarterback and trying to get somebody to get there.
Right.
They could actually do that.
Yeah, they could. Again, they're the prime ones in this whole thing.
If I'm Tennessee right now, I got to be sitting at 2 going, you know what? My phone, here's my number. Call me. What do you got for me?
In fact, I would post it. here's our number. Give us a call.
As a matter of fact, you might even schedule a daily call with Chip Kelly just to make sure.
Chip, how you doing?
Just checking in, bud. How's things going? You know, we're still at 2, right? Okay, good. Just checking.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind that the Browns do have 2 picks in the first round.
Right. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They had two last year, too. Neither one worked.
Ofer.
Yeah, they did not have... It's really odd. The Browns had two picks last year, and neither one of them really... panned out. So,
you know, this could be. Remember last year I complained.
This is not a great draft, by the way. This is not a great draft. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves that this is one of those deep, awesome, incredible drafts. It is not.
Yeah, but you know what's nice about this draft as opposed to last year? And I complained about it last year at this time. It was pretty much a lock what the number one pick was going to be. It's pretty much a lock what the number one pick is going to be this year, but it doesn't seem to matter because there's still stuff to talk about.
Okay, I don't quite know where you're going here.
Well, no, I'm just saying, after you get to, the first pick was pretty much a lock last year, and then everything else, there was really no big discussion of, you know, who was going to go here? Well, that was pretty much a lock. Then number three, well, that was pretty much what everybody thought. The only thing that was a question mark was where Manziel was going to be drafted. This year, we've actually got a big question at two.
That wasn't good enough for you?
I didn't think he was going to go that early anyway. When he was falling down draft boards, I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured. You know how I feel about him. I'm not buying into it.
He speaks highly of you.
I don't think he does. I don't think he speaks highly of anybody.
Oh, you're just not nice. Just not nice. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, let me guess. It's Hyundai.
It's Hyundai!
Hyundai!
It's a month-long celebration, 100 years in the making at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Save over $11,000 on new 2014 Genesis R-Spec 400-horsepower luxury sedan. Celebration savings with 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrids and $1,000 in bonus cash. 10-year powertrain warranty coverage and 37-mile-per-gallon combined average equal unmatched value and savings. Celebration savings on all 2015 Elantra SE and Limiteds with 0% for 60 months and $1,000 in bonus cash. And, of course, a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And 2015 Elantra starting at $16,988 plus tax and tags. This celebration is going on all month long only at your home for Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory 24/7 at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
That'll be the first draft in a long time without a. That'll be the first draft ever without a Sable alive.
Oh, that's true.
Ed and Steve Sable both have now passed away. First draft would have been in 35? Be the first NFL draft, and Steve Sable at that point, I think, would have been, what was he, 98 when he died? So he was born in, 1916? So he would have been 19 years old when the first NFL draft took place.
By the way, I have one request for the networks, whether it's ESPN or the NFL Network or the NFL itself. Don't let anyone else know who's being drafted until they announce it on TV. It's annoying when they're in a commercial break and I get 17 tweets telling me who the next pick is. I don't have to watch the draft anymore. All I have to do is watch Twitter.
Well, once again, my method appears to pay off. I don't.
You don't even watch either one.
Oh, I watched the draft.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely watched the draft. Last year, I had a speaking engagement in Ohio last year, and I listened to the draft on Sirius on NFL Network driving back. So that's how I caught most of the draft last year, was on radio. But I had it on there the entire time. And I'll watch good chunks of the draft. I'll watch the entire first round. I'll watch the second and third round. Now, it's going to depend on which playoff game, for example, is going on that night. Penguins, by the way, play tonight. As I pointed out earlier in the show, you watch the Penguin power play, and oh, my goodness, it's so pedestrian. They have such talent with Malkin and Crosby out there, but they don't move the puck. Just don't move it. I watched the Blackhawks power play. They got Kane. They got Taves. They've got Duncan Keefe. They've got Patrick Sharp. Bang, bang, bang. They've got essentially when you're out there in hockey and it's a power play situation, they play, of course, the defense plays the box. Well, what's the box? The box essentially is the equivalent of a zone defense in basketball. Now, what do you do against the zone? Now, you're 5-on-5, of course, in basketball. Power play here, you're 5-on-4. Is that you get somebody to about the foul line area, which is the open spot in the zone, the dead spot in the zone, and you also around the perimeter move the ball. Bang, bang, bang. Better ball movement gets a zone now sliding and moving and getting out of position. The Penguins don't get the box moving out of position because they hold the puck too much. Like they're always trying to make that perfect pass, that perfect play. And that's a big reason why I think their power play's bogged down. They don't have enough movement because I think Fleury's outplayed Lundqvist in the series so far. I think Fleury's actually played very well in net. The Pens very well. Lundqvist has really not played that great, but he's been able to get away with it. You need to get 40 to 45 shots in this guy. If you do that, you're going to get four in. Well, that's coming up tonight. And the NFL draft is coming up round one a week from tonight. I'm predicting 1 week and about maybe 5 hours from now, Kevin will be disappointed by who the Steelers took.
I've been pretty happy the last couple of years in the first round.
I can't believe they went with offensive tackle.
Not going to happen.
It's not a great draft.
They've got several corners that should be available. Pick one of them.
Yeah, should be available and being really, really good.
Well, at this point, the bar is set kind of low at corner for the Steelers. So.
Well, a lot of guys have gone. Now, the key part for the Steelers is that they've been able to have several players play out their entire career with them so that everybody feels good. Well, you don't have that problem anymore, do you? Monday, Merrill Reese. Tuesday, Ken Marangola. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com next week on the draft. Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com. We have a lot going on. Can't wait to do it.